Hare Krishna. I wanted to answer two questions I didn't have time to answer yesterday. They will be connected to the material discussed today. You mentioned faith in astrology, stones, etc. Should we reject all of it and just worship Krishna? No, we shouldn't reject. We need to understand that the final shelter is the Holy Name. That eventually only the Holy Name can protect us. Not stones. But all of this can be used, should be used. It's good things. We shouldn't be fanatic. Ayurveda, in Charaka Samhita, they said that the Ayurveda is specifically meant for people who are walking the spiritual path. It's not just medicine. It's medicine for people who are walking spiritual path. They're trying to evolve spiritually. Astrology can help us understand some rules about what's happening with us. At some point, a person may just reject all of it. But we need to grow to this point. We shouldn't reject everything too early. The second question has to do with the material we'll discuss today. On the level of Nishtha, the material desire is still a bit more prominent. At the same time, you said there is practical no meditation on on other things, subsidiary things on the level of Nishtha. I can't hear. Maybe we can move because I think it doesn't. Yeah. So on the level of Nishtha, the material consciousness is still more prominent. But so on the level of Nishtha, I have enough control. On the level of Nishtha, I have enough control over my mind so I can direct it to where I need it to. While below the level of Nishtha, on the level of Nishtha, the mind still likes external things more. But if I tell my mind, you should concentrate on Krishna, then he will concentrate on Krishna. Then it goes whenever it wants. Spontaneous meditation on Krishna appears only on the level of Ruchi. Can you hear me, Mataji? Okay. We will talk about it now. I can talk louder, I just don't know if... I wanted us to repeat with you this scheme I gave on the first lecture. the steps of the changes of our ego. And I will have a question for you here. We talked about the fact that on the level of Anishtita Bhakti Bhajana Kriya, on the first steps of devotional service, when we haven't achieved Nishta yet, then what is spirituality? How much spirituality is developed in us? Partial. Ekadesha Vaidini. It's a very partial thing. I wanted to give a bit, since we are used, because we are Westerners, we used to measure everything in some quantities. Ganda means about 1%. About 1%. Ekadesha Vartini means about 10-15%. Bahudesha Vartini means more than 50%, about 60-65-70%. Praiki, almost full, means how much? 90-95%, 93%. Purna, what does it mean? Fully, 100%. Atyantike, or 99.9%. And Atyantike means absolutely, fully. We'll talk later about what's the difference between Purna and Atyantike. I can even tell it now. On the level of Atyantike, there is the possibility to make offense. Sorry, on the level of Purna, on the level of Atyantike, there is no possibility of making offenses. So, on the level of Anishtita Bhajana Kriya, I wanted to ask a question. We have partial spiritualization, about 10-15%. And the connection with the material, with matter, is still Purna, means about 99%. On the level of Nishta, what happens? On the level of Nishta, what is the percentage? So most is already spiritualized, but at the same time there is almost full material consciousness, 90% material consciousness. Do you feel the contradiction here? Mathematically, it doesn't work out. If you take them together, it's more than 100%. What does it mean? That this is the point I talked about in the beginning. That it's not changing one thing to another thing. Because if it would be the process of just changing, it will be a symmetric process. What's actually happening is that something new appears, and the old is still there. That's the special thing about Nishta. We still have material consciousness, and at the same time, spiritual consciousness is also developed. So, and this spiritual consciousness can give us results if we make conscious efforts. So this is an important point I wanted to you to note. So the third chapter we're starting with you now explains what a person has to do on the level of anartha nivritti. What does it mean, anartha nivritti? And what should a person do on that level? Because not everyone understands what it really means. Do I really need to do anything? Or just do my bhajan, chant holy names, and everything will happen by itself? So it's a very important point, which we should understand thoroughly. And first we need to give a definition of what is anartha. What does anartha mean?
Anartha.
Artha, what is artha? Valuable.
Anartha,
something valuable. So anartha means useless, or useless towards what? If we look at lust, is lust useful? Is lust useful to for something? Yes, it's an important thing for something. Depending on what? What is our goal? If our goal is prema, then anartha is everything that disturbs our achievement of this goal. Everything that is between us and that goal. If I really want, if I want something else, if my artha, if my pancha purusharta is prema, then I say that some things are anartha. If I want material progress, then is greed a good thing? Yes, it's a wonderful thing. If I want to find a place here in the material world, is ego a good thing? Yes, it's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. Everything depends on what is my goal. So anartha is everything. Or more accurately, please write the exact definition. Anartha is bad habits and bad desires. Undesirable desires that come from vasanas that disturb the development of bhakti. Vasana is an important word. Vasana is a mental state or on the level level of the mind. And from these vasanas comes habits and desires. The habits and desires come from the vasanas. They're based on vasanas. And that's anartha. And it doesn't mean some random desires that just came by mistake. It means some constant desires that are generated from inside. It means, first of all, envy, lust, pride, anger. And so Narottama Das Thakur, he says a very interesting thing. These challenges or anarthas are called, otherwise called antarayas. Antaraya means inner concentration. It's a very important concept. What is anartha? What is an obstacle on my way to Krishna? It's my tendency to concentrate on something else, an inner concentration on something else. In Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Narottama Das Thakur, it's his prayer. Listen, this is a prayer of a real devotee. What is bhai? Bhai means fear. Param bhai means the biggest fear. What am I most afraid of? Antaraya nahichaya. That I will not be able to defeat antaraya. This inner concentration on the wrong thing. Antaraya nahichaya. And that's why he says, I pray to you constantly, please remove this. I constantly pray. Anukshana means moment. Anukshana means every moment. I have this inner concentration and I ask you, please get me rid of this. From this inner concentration on the wrong thing. And the biggest anartha for any conditioned soul is our is our desire for sex. This is in Christianity it's called the original sin. We have a different explanation to this phenomenon. Anyway, subtle or gross levels, because the desire for fame and glory is the same desire actually. And every religion is talking about it. Every religion has to deal with this delicate theme, very complicated theme. The subject, this difficult subject for every person. Because all this world, according to the Vedic conception, and Srila Prabhupada said that all this world is actually a result of sex. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that all this world is created due to the connection of Shiva and Parvati. And the material world is always is characterized by inner concentration on this thing in one form or another. And spiritual life means a 180 degree turn from this in this subject. And it's not easy because the inertia is very big. We're in our it's too valuable for us. In our consciousness, it's artha. It's something valuable. So, I already talked about it yesterday. That bhakti, at some point, comes in touch with our anarthas. In other words, the process of anartha nivritti starts from the moment where we start to see this anarthas. When bhakti separated our anarthas from us enough so that we can see this is me and this is my anartha. In the beginning, when we just start to practice bhakti, we listen about anarthas, we hear about the demons that come in Vrindavan, and we start to see the anarthas. But where do we see them? In other people. This is an amazing quality of bhakti. Bhakti helps us see pride in other people's ego. Immediately people become psychologists. They begin to explain what problems other people have. That's why beginning devotees, they love to engage in psychology, because they start to see these things. And while they see it in other people, they remain psychologists. When they begin to see it in themselves inside, then they become devotees. That's the difference. And this state, when suddenly I begin to see problems in me, it's a revelation, it's a kind of revelation. But that's the beginning of humility. We all know anartha nivritti. Tomorrow I will probably talk about it, about the main instrument of anartha nivritti is conscious humility. It's a very interesting thing, but it's the subject matter of tomorrow's lecture. But humility starts from seeing my own problems. If I didn't see my own problems, then my humility will just be a mask. It won't be a real humility. It will just be another act, another mask. Hypocrisy. So before that step, we just judge others. But we know that at some point, a devotee we know in the beginning everyone are very humble, at least externally. Then at some point everyone starts to judge others. And that means that Bhajana Kriya is acting. Bhadanarta Nivritti hasn't started yet. And people start their own blogs where they discuss the disadvantages of others or put likes when other people discuss disadvantages of other faults. We see the faults of others. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the definition. We gave the definition with you of the undesired qualities. And here in the Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also gives a definition of the anarthas. And then he categorizes the anarthas based on the root of these anarthas, because we can classify them in different ways. We can classify them to kama, krodha, lobha, moha, and matsarya. That's one of the way to classify the anarthas. But here he classifies us based on the root. Why? Because we are discussing anartha nivritti, and for this we need to understand where do they come from. To understand what we need to do, we need to know where it comes from. To cure the disease, we need to understand where this disease comes from. Not just deal with the symptoms, not just deal with lust, greed. Because in psychology, people get some techniques to get rid of anger, for example, or to some level to get rid of greed, etc. But we have to deal with the root. So that's why Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur does this classification. And it's an amazing classification. He says anarthas, or undesirable qualities, they come into our heart as a result of sinful activity, but also from pious activities. That's less obvious. Anarthas come to us as a result of aparadhas. That's obvious, but also as a result of the practice of bhakti. No way, seems no way out. We could get our address everywhere. So in this qualification there is very deep meaning, we will see it. He will be explaining all these things. And we will now start a more detailed description. And there is a very interesting point here. First he is saying, describing the anarthas that are results of previous sinful activity and pious activity. And he writes, the anarthas that are result of sinful activities are in according to the five kleshas described before. Asmiti, avidya, klesha, and abhinivesha. Let's stop on this point for several minutes and think. What does it mean? In some sense, it's a very important definition, and it's a very important claim that the anarthas that come as a result of sinful activities are equal to these kleshas. We can make or give a very important definition of sin. What is sin? Why in every religion it is said that some actions are classified as sin, as not allowed, as forbidden activities? Sins are the things that make our kleshas or our ignorance stronger. Because the basis of klesha is what? Avidya, or ignorance. In other words, why some activities are called sinful? And because this activity strengthens our ignorance. Or, in another way, increases our identification with the body, because this is our ignorance. So in other words, we know there is this wonderful guna that strengthens ignorance. Tamaguna, right? So sin is what increases the effect tamaguna has on us. So a person becomes more ignorant. He is more gross, less sensitive. So that's why there are worse things and the sin is the difference between sins, whether it's a really heavy sin or not so much, it depends on how the effect they have on our consciousness. How much it makes the person to immerse in this ragat vesha, bini vesha. So, and asmita. So, things are classified into five categories according to their seriousness. Mahapataka. That's the most horrible things. They are mentioned. There are five mahapatakas. Killing a brahmana. Using alcohol. Drinking alcohol. Because we know that drugs or alcohol make a person identify with the body. Makes him very ignorant. To steal gold from a brahmana. Fourth, to have an illegal relationship with the wife of the guru, illicit relationship. And five, to listen to Mayavada, I think. Yes, according to this, according to... Oh, 1 second. No, sorry, to associate with any of these sinners for 1 year. Because ignorance is something you can catch. So let's think about this. So what is sin? Sin is the covering of our knowledge. Where does Krishna talk about it? In the Bhagavad Gita. Where in the Bhagavad Gita? Agyana covers jnana. The 5th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 15th verse, if I'm not mistaken. In other words, and here knowledge doesn't mean we have some spiritual knowledge. It means our ability to see things in the right way. And sin covers disability. It takes the disability from the person. It makes our vision unclear. When you see, you know, drunk people, their ability to see things as they are is very much destroyed. Distorted. So a person, as a result of sin, a person becomes much more immersed in his bodily experience. The bodily experience can interest us more and less, or less. Some people live on the mental sphere or on the bodily sphere, but sin is what concentrates a person on his bodily experience. So first it makes his avidya stronger, His strength, says, is avidya, is identification with the body. What happens next? Raga and dvesha. His attachment and hatred becomes much stronger because he can't control it anymore. This I like, this I don't like, this I like, this I don't like. He actually puts himself under the control of all these things. So the more a person is sinful, the less he can control himself. Because raga and dvesha fully controls him. And the last, most important result of thin is what? The fear of death. The fear of death. So, sinful people are actually very much afraid from death. And on that, and the other way around also works. When a person becomes free from sins, we can see how these five kleshas become weaker. Klesha is like clashes. What a crab has, like. Anyway, so. So sins make us suffer. Is that understood? Yes. So will we sin? No. Good. Thank you. In other words, the sin makes a person suffer, and the person becomes more and more, conditioned. And eventually he will lose the human form of life. So this is the bad news, but the good news are that sins and result of sins are very easily removed. It's just enough to say Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. In the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, there is a very important discussion between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. And there it says, I will read several verses, three verses from this chapter, or even four, six too. In the beginning they said, that in different religions, against different sins, there are different antidotes. And here it says tapa, dana, and vrata, and everything else. Tapa means austerity, dana means donation. So many ways to neutralize sin. So, according to the sin, one can neutralize its effect. So if the sin, according to its seriousness, there is the seriousness of neutralizing it. So there is a natural doubt. So how can the holy name remove all the sins? Whether they are serious or not serious. Did you ever have this question? Usually, the way to the prayaschita for the sin is as serious as the sin is. Vishwanath Thakur gives an example that for the holy name to destroy all the sins is the same as for Balarama to destroy all the Kauravas, start beginning from Duryodhana. Can you hear me, Mataji? Yes. No material power can go against the spiritual power, because spiritual power is much greater. It's a very important point why the holy name so easily relieves a person from the sins, because it's the Vastu Shakti of the holy name. Vastu Shakti means it's it's a quality of that cannot be removed. It's part of its qualities. So Vastu Shakti. So and the characteristics of Vastu Shakti is such that Vastu Shakti does not depend on the consciousness of a person. It's not important whether the person knows or the effect or not. For example, if a person puts his hand into fire, he will get burned. So that's the Vastu Shakti of fire. So this is the Vastu Shakti of the Holy Name, and it has nothing. It's not dependent on the consciousness of the person. And that's what is said in the next verse. In the next verse, it says that all this prayashitas do not destroy the source, the root of the sin, and the Holy Name destroys the root of the sin. So whether a person knows or not, whether he says the Holy Name with faith or not. Like atonement. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam or in the 12th canto, even if a person slept and accidentally chanted Govinda when he was falling, he fell and chanted Govinda when he was falling, all his sins were removed. It's just important to fall in the right time. It burns all the sins like the fire, because this fire has this Vastu Shakti to burn. And if we bring the fire close to straw, to a pile of straw, then it will burn. And that's the same what happens with our sins. So very soon we'll explain why it didn't happen with our sins, but it happens with everyone else's sins. He says that it's not enough to compare the Holy Name with fire. They gave the next example. The Vishnu Dutas, they are not satisfied with this example with fire, because fire only burns. But here they say the next verse. They give this next example, not only of fire and dry grass. They say it's like a powerful medicine. The same way, like the powerful medicine will make us cure us. In the same way, the Holy Name can cure us, even if we do not know about His might. What is the difference between the first example and the second? Why do they give the second example? The first one burns and the second one cures. So the first example is not full, because the fire just burns. But the powerful cure also gives power, also recovers the person, nourishes him. So it is says here, Viryatamam, very powerful cure. So even if a person does not know anything, the Holy Name can give him love to God, even if he accidentally just mentions the Holy Name. This is what we described, what has to deal with the anarthas that are a result of dushkrita, of bad activities. So what about pious activities? Why are they bad? Yes. Pious activities make one attached to what? To knowledge and happiness, right? Krishna says that pious activity makes one attached to the feeling of happiness. Have you seen such people? They're happy, they're pious, but they have nothing. It's, everything is good in their life. They have this feeling of happiness. Why piousness is also bad? Why is it an anartha? Why it causes anartha? Pride. Yes, it might make one pride. But what kind of desire? What kind of desire comes from piousness? The desire of liberation. So anarthas that are results of pious activities are the desire to enjoy the result of the piousness and the striving for liberation. Two things. So a person enjoys his happiness and it also makes him desire liberation. And that is definitely an anartha because it disturbs a person from concentrating on bhakti. And where does Srila Rupa Goswami talk about it? Does anyone know this verse? So the desire for bhakti and mukti, while the desire for bhakti and mukti exist in the heart, they're like these witches that are in our heart. So, while it's in our heart, we will never feel the happiness of bhakti. While these two witches of bhakti and mukti live in our heart, we will never get the experience of bhakti. A person will never be able to really experience the happiness of bhakti. So in what way can this happen? Can happiness come to a heart that have these two things? No, because there never, because there is something opposite there. So both things and pious activities give our roots for anarthas. And now we're coming to the most important part. I will now be telling about the difference between anartha and artha. This is the next very long part of this third chapter, where it is said, explained, what is aparadha? Aparadha, you said? Okay. So what is the difference between thin and aparadha? I don't think between thin and aparadha. So the emotional state of a person, the feeling. So things are made on the level of body and mind, and apparatus on the level of soul. He's asking for variance from devotees. This is the answer. In essence, what is aparada and what is different from sin? Is this suspicious? So let's try to give a clear definition. So thin has two negative aspects. What are these negative aspects of thin? Why is sin forbidden in all religions and societies? First of all, what does sin do? Sin affects us. Sin destroys our health. It makes us suffer somehow. Right? Sin makes us some damage for us. It, like we just talked about it. And what is the second negative aspect of sin? It makes trouble in society. There is the social aspect of sin. Because when people do sins, they start to disturb others. They become more concentrated on themselves, on their body, and they're less sensitive. And they start to give some pain to others. So every religion forbids sin for two reasons: to make society peaceful as much as possible, and to help the person himself not to make sins, and so he will not become more attached to the sins, because the sins always lower his consciousness, drag down his consciousness. So sin has to do with body and society, but aparadha has to do with bhakti. And here we need to write a very clear, exact definition of what is aparadha. The root rad means giving pleasure. The name Radha or Aradhana means one who gives pleasure or satisfaction. Radha means one who gives pleasure. But aparadha is something that is the opposite. Something unpleasant for the holy name, the Guru, Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Or displeasure of the holy name, Krishna, Guru and the Vaishnavas, is called aparadha. And Tulasi Rupa, she said a very interesting thing. That aparadha is somehow affects our senses, our feelings. So aparadha is an action that causes in our heart, in our consciousness, feeling or sentiment that are opposite to bhakti. Something that is directly opposite to bhakti. So it's actually something that makes us far from devotion. What is love? Love is some kind of feeling. When we want to make some others happy, we feel this lightness inside. Aparadha is something that causes the opposite effect. That way there are four kinds of offenses in general. Offense as relationship with Guru, Vaishnava, God and the holy name, according to its seriousness. First is just disrespectful. We just don't respect. Disrespectful attitude. And don't disrespect and that's it. Not respect, like. That's already offense. It's not such a grave offense, but still. Second is we do not trust. We lose faith in the person. We look at this person and think, oh, he's an hypocrite. Oh yes, he chants externally Hare Krishna. Or we're looking at the Guru and thinking, oh, what is he writing down there? So, no trust. That is the second. Did anyone feel disrespect to himself? Mistrust to himself, that someone doesn't trust it? Is it hurtful? Yes, it's very hurtful. When someone does not trust us, this is the second level. When there is no mistrust, no trust. The third is neglect. This is a even heavier level. And the fourth level is criticizing. If we criticize Bhakti, holy name, the Bhaktas and Bhagavan, then this creates the most grave obstacles on our spiritual path. This creates the opposite emotion. Which emotion do we want to get? Love. What emotion does this cause? Strengthen in our hearts? Hate. Hate, rejection, disgust. This is what aparada means. This is why it causes the biggest obstacles on our path. This is directly opposite to our goals. And if our goal is to get love, to become closer to God, and becoming closer to God, what does it mean? The first step is that we receive shelter. We accept shelter from the holy name, from other processes of bhakti, from the Vaishnavas. We look for protection. Eventually we go to Krishna and say, please protect me. We ask for shelter from them. And that is bhakti. Aparada means the exact opposite thing. What makes us farther, doesn't allow us to receive shelter. Neglect or mistrust or hate, all the things does not allow us to take shelter. You understand this is an absolutely two opposite things that disturb us. And then there is this very important next point. Interfere. So the first result of aparadha is that the opposite negative feeling are strengthened. But then there are two more very important results that are mentioned in the verse that comes before the description of the 10 nama aparadhas. You all know the 10 nama aparadhas. What do they start from? Saduninda, right? Sataninda. From offending great saints. But Sanat Kumar that mentions these offenses, he is mentioning them as an answer to a question which he was asked. And Rupa Goswami, he gives translation to this question, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. All best of vipras, all best of the brahmanas, what are the offenses? Against the name of Bhagavan, what offenses against the name of Bhagavan a person might commit? And then he says the two results. First is Kritiam means good things that a person do. The vinigrantia means what destroys everything good that we did. We did something good, we were engaged in devotional service. Aparada just nullifies the effect of this. Everything good, vinanti, means destroyed, fully destroyed. And next, a very important thing, prakritam, anayanticha, hi anayanticha. What else does it do? Prakritam, hi anayanticha. The aparata materializes. You know, makes spiritual things material in our consciousness. It makes our perception material. So if the result of sin is making ignorance stronger, the result of aparada is much worse. Aparada distorts our perception. But sin only also distorts, but it just makes us more ignorant. It makes us more ignorant, but aparada makes our perception wrong, distorted. What does aparada do with the consciousness of a person, with the heart of a person? A person begins. Actually, aparada increases the demonic nature. We have this demonic nature, this anger inside. And aparada destroys everything we were doing to destroy this angry demonic nature inside. And actually gives us this opportunity to continue doing aparada. Means makes us conscious, makes our consciousness material. We know every person comes to the association of devotees with clear eyes, and he sees all the devotees are good, and then suddenly he sees all devotees are bad. But in the beginning they were good, so what changed? The vision changed. I begin to see people otherwise. I stop appreciating what any other people, what any other person would appreciate. People don't drink, they don't smoke. They almost don't engage in illicit sex. Not too often. They don't use drugs. Is that good qualities or not? But very soon we start seeing this with material eyes. This is the most important thing we need to understand. Aparada has such a huge effect that it takes away our ability to see spiritual things, to feel spiritual things. We all know how a person that is not contaminated with aparadhas, he goes to the deities and he starts crying immediately. You know, like Madana Mohan was saying, he sent a picture of Radhashyam Sundara to his sister. She was just a regular person. And she saw the picture of the deities and he asked, is she alive? She was looking at Srimati Radharani, is she alive? So this is a person, absolutely new person, regular person, but didn't do aparadhas. So a normal person that has no offensive mood, when he just sees a Vaishnava, just a humble person that wants to do something good, and he feels this, he appreciates this. But a person who is an offender, he looks at the Vaishnava and thinks, oh, this is a hypocrite. Oh, yeah. So, this this poor person who just couldn't do anything in his life, so he's just living there or moving the kund. In this way, aparada increases. It increases the false ego of a person. But first, an example. Where is there an example in the Shastra where how does the aparata fully transforms the consciousness of a person and makes him a demon? That's an example from the Shastra. The Vivida. Vivida was one of the generals in the army of Ramachandra. He served almost more than anyone else. But the aparada towards Lakshmana, that he was neglectful towards Lakshmana, it made him do such such low things. So the aparada demonizes us. It makes our demonic tendencies stronger. And this materialization of our consciousness is manifested in cynicism. Very often people that come to religion, after some time they become cynical. Why? Who is a cynic? He's a person that has no faith. He doesn't trust anyone. And why? Because he saw all these things. But still, when a person becomes absolutely cynical. And I saw. Did you see devotees who came to this level? They became fully cynical. They don't believe in anything. That is the result of the wrong interaction with the energy of bhakti, with those who are the carriers of the energy of bhakti, with the devotees, with Bhagavan, with the holy name. That's what it can get us to. So it's very important to understand. And what does aparadha, what is the result of aparadha? More aparadhas. So aparadha increases our ego. And gives birth to more aparadhas. Increases our pride, distorts our vision. So this is a very important point. Yesterday we raised this question. In the famous verse it says, the name of Krishna liberates a person even if only once, he utters it. So whether he says it with faith or without faith, with neglect. What is this kind of neglect that is not an aparada? When a person out of ignorance, he neglects. A person saw how people chanting, and he just starts to laugh a bit. There is some innocence in it. If a person makes offenses without bad intentions, but when he starts doing it with anger, then this is an offense. This is a very important to understand this difference. He says there are four kinds of abhasas. Sanketabhas, when a person says the holy name but meant something else. For example, there is this so like when there is a saying in Russia which small children learn by heart, Mama Milorama, which means mom was cleaning the window, but the word Ram is there. Second is what? Paribas? It means Parihasya. He was just jokingly saying. Parihasya. Then Stovam, what the Stovam means? With sarcasm. Sarcastically. Parihasya just means jokingly. But what is the first one I didn't hear? But so if I do it out of ignorance, it's okay. It's not so bad, but if we understand, then it's an offense. So in our case, we're in a bad position because we already know, so we cannot do it out of ignorance. So if we do all these four things, it will be an offense. And here I wanted to say this local saying. We all know that in Gaia, if you do Pinda worship offering, then the person become liberated. If someone died in a bad way or something, one devotee were telling me that her husband died before time, and he kept coming into her dream almost every night. Every night, she woke up with scared. So she went to Gaia, and she did the offering, and he left. So it's a powerful thing. So there is a wonderful saying that we should learn. Offering in Gaia, sacrifice in Gaia liberates all the ghosts except the ghosts that live in Gaia. Doesn't liberate them. So bhakti liberates from all sins except the sins towards bhakti. Sacrifice in Gaia releases all the ghosts except those that live in Gaia. So we need to understand very well that bhakti can liberate us from all problems except from the mistakes we make towards bhakti itself. Not mistakes, offenses. So if you make offenses toward bhakti or toward the holy name, toward the Vaishnavas, or towards the Guru, or towards the Vedas, then this is all very heavy things. So now I'll just say the final thing to finish. Where there is this famous verse about this materialization of consciousness from the Padma Purana. Where all these things are mentioned. And this material consciousness or material vision is described. Srila Prabhupada often quotes it. Does anyone know him? Wait.
Da.
Such a person is the resident of hell, and is the description of this hellish consciousness that will eventually get us to hell, that will eventually make us suffer. It's a very important thing, because eventually Vyasadeva writes this verse for us to liberate us from suffering. A person starts to see Archa, Vigraha, Vishnu, a stone. And what does it mean? That he sees. Isn't it made of stone? Externally stone. What does it mean? What does it mean I look at it as if I look in stone? There is nothing inside. And I do not regularly worship. Because should one worship stone? No. Different relationship, doesn't ask to eat. Shiva beer. This is specific vision. And my attitude towards it is like to stone. Guru is what? It's just a good person. Yeah, a good person. Guna Shunara doesn't say that he's a bad person and stuff. This is just a stone. Oh, this is just a regular person. Vaishnava is what? Vaishnava is just this form of life. This group of people with some social norms. Do you feel that sometimes this is our vision, this is our feeling? We start to look at Vaishnavas instead of seeing the essence of Vaishnavas. He's looking at the Charanamrita that washed the feet of Vaishnavas as regular water. The mantra and the nama of Sri Vishnu that can liberate from all problems, purify from all things. Just regular sound. Is it a regular sound? And Vishnu is God of all gods. He is just on the level of all less, of everyone else. So in other words, what I'm trying to say, explain all these things, that one should not sing that offenses is something so special, unusual. That offending a Vaishnava should mean kicking a Vaishnava or shouting on him or being mad at him. No, it's enough just to look at him. It's just a usual person. This is already wrong. And more, the consciousness will become more and more material. And just to make some... The next lecture will be dedicated to how to get rid of the things and what is an offense and what is not an offense. And here I wanted to give several verses from Bhajan Rahasya, of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. How can one become free from anartas? So anartha will never bring us success. The attempt to get rid of anarthas will never give success, be successful, while a person will not receive the mercy of the Holy Name. So in general, if we want to become free from anarthas, we have to receive the mercy of the Holy Name. Also, this miseries will follow us. Even if a person, without receiving the Holy Name, does thousands and millions of attempts, the anarthas will not leave. So what should we do? Listen carefully. The next Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an advice. One should, with pure heart, without hypocrisy, to fall to the feet of Nama, to chant the Holy Name again and again. Just in a few days. Dura means what? Dura means far. Not what you thought. Dura. In a few days, all the anarthas will go away very far. That's why. We should do Shravana Kirtan of the Holy Name with only one desire: to receive shelter in the Holy Name and get rid of all the anarthas, of all undesirable things. So that's a small description of what we'll discuss in more detail tomorrow. What should be done? That's it. Thank you very much.
Arrivo.
Can a fully ignorant person make some offense, aparadha, or all his activities, even the worst, is always sin, just sin? As a rule, if a person is very ignorant, then his activities are usually sin. And very often, we see how people in jail, you know, and in jail usually not the most pious people are there. They become devotees, very sincere devotees. Sometimes I'm reading letters and I think, oh my God, all the pure devotees are in the jail, and outside only offenders are free. Why? Because they're sinful people, they're ignorant people, but for some reason, by the mercy of the devotees, they start to chant the Holy Name and they immediately feel the effect of the Holy Name because there is no offense. Then then everything becomes regular as usual. But usually fully ignorant people are doing sinful activities, not offenses. And they feel relief very fast. How to help a person that makes aparadhas? How can we help a person stop doing aparadhas, and should we do it? Yes, of course. We should explain
What is aparadha? What is, why is it bad? Only if you can, if only if we have some influence on this person. Also, there is no, we shouldn't. I wanted to say something about it yesterday. So my claim yesterday about the fact we should keep sadhana secret, okay. So yesterday he said that one should keep his sadhana secret, and it made a lot of people disturbed, because it's a general practice now to share like tables or sadhana. So now he's saying if you're chanting 16 rounds, that you should not keep that secret. That's not a secret. Chanting 16 rounds and like, if you're doing heroic acts, that should be in devotional service, that should be secret. So there are some. Krishna. How to translate? So there is this ability we discussed yesterday to become free from doubts. So how? So this is actually characteristics of faith. So real Shastriya Shraddha is made of two things: knowing the Shastras and taste. If I have knowledge of the Shastra, have knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, but don't have taste, then it will be very difficult for me to do it, to destroy doubts. But knowledge of the scriptures teaches a person to think in a specific way. And if this comes together with taste, then the person understands that this is true. Because I can read the scripture and just have give intellectual and just intellectually think, oh yeah, it seems right, or have the feeling from the heart that it's right. So the first one is just intellectual speculation. So many people study the Bhagavad Gita, but the second means I want to change something in my life. I have this feeling that this is right. So if I have the taste and I have an understanding, then through deliberation we will be able to disperse doubts. But if not, if there is no taste, then the doubts will remain. We will have doubts. Because taste is some experience, right? It's a specific experience. We feel it's not someone is just saying, telling me something. Did you ever have this feeling when you read the Bhagavad Gita? Oh, Krishna is such a smart guy. He just said everything I thought about, just in a very nice way. I was thinking already, but in a nice way. So this ability to disperse doubts, this means like we have some inner heart to feel it's true. So this ability to disperse doubts means we have this taste inside. So we can get taste from associating with devotees. In Lama Madhava Janma, this rare human birth is meant for satsanga. Why if there is a senior devotee who makes offenses so many years, but he continues to do devotee-like service, and Krishna doesn't throw him away from the association of devotees, how to explain it? So we should not be worried about that. Krishna will take care of the senior devotees. You should worry about yourself. They have their own relationship with Krishna. We can see some external things, but we cannot look into the heart of a person. Maybe inside he have a very a very sincere, simple faith inside. Krishna will take care. Everything will come to its place.
In the case of apradhas, is only one person, it's only one person's fault, or also of the person to whom, who is the object of apradha? If he provokes, if someone is provoking, does he take is he responsible?
If one person provokes apradhas, then yes, it's is part of his fault. That's why there is the ninth offense of the holy name. Preaching the holy name to the faceless. Why? Why is it an offense?
Because we provoke. Because we provoke offenses.
We could not create faith in them.
And that means we are making offense.
After 15 years of practicing,
after 15 years of practical, doing your homework, I understand I have problems with faith. The more I'm listening to the seminar, the sadder I become. Because I understand I do not have faith.
So wonderful. I congratulate you. My seminar got its goal, successful.
I did this seminar so that you will become sad to understand the position.
We need to learn to do things right. And it's not complicated. It's not difficult. We just need to try to do it right. It's so easy.
Is it the right understanding to say that holding on to our attachments is the aparada on the second level, lack of trust of Krishna?
Yes, exactly.
It's untrust. It's lack of trust towards Krishna.
And that's an offense.
It's not a very gross offense, but still, it's an offense.
You said that aparada destroys the results of our activity, but the Gita says that nothing is lost on this path. How to understand this?
Thank you very much. It's a wonderful question. You caught me.
So the Gita says that any advancement made of this path is always stays as a person.
So we will discuss this verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that a very serious aparada can destroy even that, because Krishna does not mean in this case people who make very serious aparadas. But if it's not a very serious aparada, then our experience that we received of bhakti that should have stayed with us all the time, it is covered for a while.
This experience becomes something ephemeral. Like everyone, did you ever cry during kirtan? Did you ever cry during kirtan?
Did you at least cry for not crying?
You had some experience, right?
The spiritual experience, you had it.
Or sometimes the holy dham give this experience.
A person comes here and feels, here it is, the holy dham.
Get tears from his eyes.
But when a person commits aparada, this experience becomes ephemeric.
Ephemeric? You have this word in English?
Ephemeral?
it becomes unreal, like in a dream. When we're in a normal state, we understand, oh, this is life. We should live like that. But when we commit offense, it all becomes covered. It's a very important point. Thank you for this question. Because I say it very often. Devotees that stop practicing for some because of their offenses, because they did not their practice of devotional service becomes difficult, ephemeral. So they look at devotees from the side and think it looks like a game for them. Why are they dancing? Why are they singing? It's a perception that is formed due to the form of our consciousness. But if we look at it from a different point of view, then we should always remember, eventually we'll all have to die. Death is a very real thing. Too real. And what will we do at this point? What will we remember at this moment? Where will we try to find shelter? It all depends on what we are doing now during our life. So it's very, very serious things. But there can be different point of views. It's a very important point I wanted to say. How is the vision of a person changes when he does aparadas? Actually, when a person commits aparadas, his vision of reality is distorted. Then he's actually fallen, but what he thinks he's elevated, and all the rest he thinks are fallen. Let's have some reflection. Did anything reflected in the mirror of your mind? Thank you very much for the lecture. Very interesting for me to see that anarthas. I cannot hear him, so. That apparatus are very, very dangerous. Anarthas can be removed, but apparatus are very dangerous. Importance of holy name, how it affects new people, and that the only shelter we can find in devotional service is in the holy name. Dear Guru Maharaj, thank you. First of all, not for only this lecture, but for all your lectures. You always create wonderful thank you very much for the way you're giving your lectures. They're very clear and help understand. It's very happy and you're always inspiring us. This concrete lecture, so first of all, yes. So very often I've heard if you're 80% in mind, you're 20% in Krishna consciousness. But you gave a different perception. That these rules are not following the rules of physics and chemics and chemistry, and there are more subtle rules. Thank you for explaining. One can be 90% in mind and 75% in Krishna consciousness at the same time. And I have this question. You give the example. What? How Parvati and Shiva are the reason for creation. Of creation that we have. We need to understand that there are different descriptions of creation. Because the process of creation is very difficult to describe in concrete categories. But there are different symbolic description. So one description is that the living entities come to the material world through the sight, through the vision of eyesight of Krishna. How do you say? Through the look of Krishna. But then the Brahma Samhita explains that actually this when Krishna is looking, it's actually Shambho. Connection of Shiva and Parvati represents this attachment that holds us in the material world. So also, I noted this verses you mentioned from the Bhajana Rahasya Bhaktinoda Thakura that we cannot achieve any success in any attempts to get rid of an artist without the mercy of the Lord. Thank you very much for the lecture, for everything. So thank you for the description of changing of spiritual consciousness into material. Now I understand what to explain to people when they talk about hypocrisy. Something should change. Thank you for then. I don't understand. I can't hear properly. It just sounds like some, like an echo. Oh, this is great.
She's in the microphone.
I'm just so inspired by what you just said. How merciful Krishna is. How powerful the Holy Name is. I was listening to you and thinking, oh yes, yes, exactly, yes. I didn't see you for a long time and now I met you again. And then I saw you on the retreat and then on the 2013 on the festival. And the Holy Name is all-powerful, almighty. Thank you very much. I was very much impressed by your words that the level of devotion starts when you start seeing problems in ourselves. Thank you. I wanted to repeat what my spiritual brother said. See. You said that if you see problems in other people, then it means bhakti starts working. And I could not read and could never get rid of this tendency to see problems in other people. But I didn't hear that. I'll finish. Yesterday I wanted to say, but I tried to talk less because my wife said I should talk less. So I'm trying to follow. But today, this seminar, I think that the seminar would be great even for non-devotees, because sometimes people think it's good to preach to non-devotees through Ayurveda and astrology and things like that, but actually Vaishnava mathematics are very deep and interesting, and I will definitely do that because people love to hear about it. They become immersed in this knowledge, in Vaishnava knowledge. This lecture allows to get rid of a lot of illusion regarding myself. Prabhu said we're practicing Vishuddha Yoga, Yoga of Despair. So today I feel special despair. At some point I started noticing a lot of cynical relationship towards others, devotees. I knew that the reason is probably aparadas. And now I started understanding. Today from the lecture, I'm lucky or misfortunate enough to have this experience of cynical relation attitude, and this is a very bad experience in my life. Should everyone should take shelter of the Holy Name, from the Holy Name. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Last question.
Thank you very much.
It's, I understand it's very important to be very, very careful when associating with someone who provokes offenses.
That if a devotee comes to a situation where he has to leave Krishna consciousness, it means it was his desire. Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. Thank you for the lecture, for all your lectures in the previous retreat and this. A lot of valuable things. I will just shortly say. I was especially inspired by the fact that you said that if a person this is Bhaktivinoda Kurs that just on through a few days of really surrendering to the Holy Name, one can become clear from all apparatus.